Right, here we go. If I say the name Keisha, how many people know what that name means? Keisha. Anybody? Raise your hand. Not Kesha. Somebody said no talent, and I knew she was thinking of Kesha. I'm saying Keisha. Anybody know the significance of the name Keisha? My small group guys, you guys don't know? That's the name of my very first girlfriend. Her name was Keisha Pearson. And I dated Keisha when I was 17 years old, a senior in high school. That was when I had my first girlfriend. So here's the deal. For me, growing up, like some of the guys in my small group and some of you guys I've talked to, when I was your age, I thought having a girlfriend, I thought going out, I thought dating, I thought all that stuff, I thought it was dumb. I thought it was pointless. I saw people all around me going out and breaking up and all the drama and all the crying and all that stuff. And I just thought, that's dumb. I don't want to do it. And I just decided not to do it. I went to school dances and all that. I hung out with friends. It wasn't like I wasn't friends with girls or anything like that. And that was great for me. But when I got to be a senior and started my second semester, I was getting ready to go away from college. I had a lapse in judgment. And I started panicking. I started thinking, wait a second. I'm getting ready to go to college. And college, I think, is where you meet your wife. And if I don't know how to go out with a girl and I don't know how to date before I go to college, I'm never going to get married, and I'm never going to have kids. I'm never going to have a family. I'm going to end up sitting behind a dumpster eating saltines all by myself. And so I just decided to ask out the first girl that I thought would go out with me, and Keisha had basically gone out with every single other guy in school. And I was like, well, she'll go out with me. And so I went for it with Keisha, and we started dating. And we went on several dates, and then we didn't have cell phones back then. I know that's shocking. But what we did is, do you guys ever write handwritten notes anymore? Yeah. Anybody ever do that? Yes, no? Leaders, are you with me with the notes passed in school? All right, there we go. So we would pass notes in school. Basically, you were bored in class. You weren't playing Angry Birds. You weren't surfing the internet on your phone. You were writing a note, all right? And like all day long, it's just like you write somebody a note, and maybe you're like, hey, do you have class with Keisha next period? Will you take this and give it to her? And you trust that they don't open it and read it and go, whoa! And so then you're passing notes through other people, and it's like this huge network of note passing. And so we had been dating for about 3 weeks. We'd gone on three or four dates, and Keisha writes me this note. And I want to read it to you. I won't read the whole thing to you because it's 2 pages long. 2 pages. All right, that would be like 25 text messages. I still have it. It's dated 2/23/97. That's February 23rd, 1997. All right, you do the math. What is that, 15 years ago or 14 years ago? David. Hey, what's up, R. Fox? See, R. Fox, we had pet names for each other. I was Running Fox and she was White Snow Bunny. We both had Native American blood, or still do, I guess, and those were our Indian names for each other. I didn't have to read that part, I just did. What up, R. Fox? By the way, guys, you can't steal it, that's my nickname, Running Fox. How are you? Hopefully you're doing as well as I am. I just had a wonderful day. Church was really good, and I went out to lunch afterwards with my parents. When I got home, I just went up to my room, and as I was listening to my CD, that's the way we used to listen to music, I just started thinking. You want to know what I was thinking about? You. All caps and underlined. I've been thinking about these past couple of weeks, and about last night, and about things in my life. I spent a while reading and eventually I fell asleep. I was really tired. But anyways, I just wanted to make sure everything's cool. I had so much fun hanging out with you, so was underlined, and talking to you. While I was thinking today, I remember that night after Snowball Dance when you and I were talking. Remember? Of course you do. Okay. And do you remember? Now listen to this, get ready. And do you remember that I told you that if a guy was willing to get close to me, I'd be willing to get close to him? Well, I said that and I mean it. Yeah, get ready. And I guess I'm just writing to tell you that I really do like you. I like you for who you are and what you are. And I like you for what I am when I'm with you. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? How would you like to have somebody write that note or text message or Facebook wall post to you? Hey, you're sitting here saying awkward, but you can't tell me you wouldn't like the girl that you think is cute to say, I like you for who you are and what you are, and I like you for what I am when I'm with you. That's out of a movie. You make me laugh, and I can't thank you enough for that. I love to laugh. I think laughing makes you feel so happy, and everyone should feel happy. And on, I mean, here, that's just the first front page, right? So it goes on to the back, and she tells me about what she learned at church. You know, she's talking to me about what she learned there. And then she says, she's talking at church, she's learning about letting go of things, holding on to things so tightly, and she says, I'm struggling with that. And here's where it comes in. I totally want us to have a great relationship. I don't want you to ever hold anything back that you want to say to me, okay? I know I can be difficult, and I just hope for this perfect little romantic slash adventurous relationship. But I know that that's impossible. There's no perfect relationship, especially when it's just starting, and we're still getting to know each other. But sometimes I get overwhelmed. I think you're such a neat and awesome guy. All right, and then, so that's page one. Let's go to page two. So then she goes on and on and on. And then she says this, Dave, I hope I'm not scaring you with all this. And that's where I'll put the note down. Because here's the thing. You know, I was just trying to figure out how to date, you know, and just, you know, she was low-hanging fruit. She was the easiest one to date. And... Sorry. The thing was that she'd already gone out with all my friends. They were like, all you have to do is ask her out. She'll say yes. Desperate, whatever. So anyways, so I wasn't really in it for the romantic slash adventurous relationship of a lifetime. But she was. And as I was reading that, A, I was flattered, but B, I was freaking out. She was scaring me with all that. I'm like, wait, time out, hold the phone. I'm getting ready to go to college. I don't want a romantic, adventurous relationship. I don't want all this stuff you're talking about. I just wanted to figure out how to ask a girl out and then feel confident about that when I go to college. You're not the one. You're just a one. You're just... What? Hey, girls! Hey. Hold on, time out, hold on. Let me tell you why they're booing. Shh, I'm talking to the girls right now. You guys, shut your mouth. What I'm saying is how every little guy thinks. And they're booing because I'm spilling their secret. So there you go. All right? You guys don't treat women. Hang on. You don't treat women and girls with respect. You should, but you don't. Watch out. They're fools. Now, here we go. Let's keep going. Seriously, they're only 13. I was 17 and I was an idiot, all right? So think about what they are when they're 13. Now, listen, here we go. At least my guys on the couch are owning it. They're like, yeah, we are idiots. Okay, so here we go. Let me finish the story here. So here's what's happening in my life. A conflict is brewing, all right? She's going this way. I'm going this way, all right? But I still have to, like, walk down the hall with her and hold her hand because that's what couples do. But I know her heart is on this rocket trajectory towards the moon of love, and my heart is like, wah, wah. And so I've got this conflict going. So what should I do? Should I call her up and say, hey, we really need to talk, and we should meet for coffee, and we sit down, and I tell her how I really feel, and we talk it out, and we work out the issue, right? Here's what I do. I don't talk to her for 2 weeks, and then I write her a note and says, I want to break up. Hang on. I'm not done. Listen. Put this on the screen. I want to point this out. If anything else gets thrown at me, you're going to be outside the room with David Marvin chewing you out and calling your parents. All right? Here's the point I want to make. Put it up on the screen. Our natural response to conflict is to avoid it and hope it will dissolve. And so I had this conflict brewing, and I avoided it for 2 weeks. I just threw a bone at it, and I was like, hey, here's a note. It says we're breaking up, and maybe it'll just all go away, and it'll be better. But here's the thing. All her friends knew how she felt. They knew the note that she'd written to me. And all my friends knew how I felt, right? And they knew this conflict was brewing. And you can't just ignore it and hope it will dissolve and go away. So I write the note. She calls me on the phone that night and goes, did you just break up with me with the note? And she just tears me apart up and down. And then all her friends and even all my friends did what you guys just did to me. I was booed in that school for a long time. And I just looked, I wonder why. Yeah, I was a fool is why. Because I thought conflict would dissolve and it didn't. You know what happened? It got worse. It poisoned and it soured my life. I brought this up here as an illustration for you. Whether it's dating or friendships, the talk's really about friendships, but it can apply to dating. All right? It's like this. This is a friendship, all right? These Tervis tumblers, anybody have these? These are awesome cups, all right? So this is my Tervis tumbler. And you've got one person over here. Say this is Keisha. Hi, I'm Keisha. I'm White Snowbunny. And then this is me. Maybe this should be Keisha and this should be me. And I'm Running Fox. And so any friendship or relationship, you know, you put a little bit of each person in and you still have the individual people, right? Like, so I'm still David and this is still Keisha. But then this is kind of our relationship. This is our friendship. And any friendship you have is usually a refreshing thing. Right? I mean, what? It brings enjoyment to your life. Well, yeah, a little bit of you, a little bit of somebody else. It's a great friendship. It's a great relationship. I want you to think, think of your friendships right now. Think of your most refreshing friendships. Think of the most refreshing friendships that you had in the past but don't exist anymore. And here's where this illustration comes in, is conflict, all right, is like this. This is isopropyl alcohol, all right? This is rubbing alcohol, but it's clear, all right? And when you have conflict in a friendship, it's like you put some of that alcohol in it. Now look, once I put it in there, you can't really tell that it's there, all right? But you wouldn't want to drink it. You see, it poisons the relationship. Now, our natural response to conflict is to avoid it and hope it will dissolve. And so here's the thing. Everybody has conflict in your relationships, whether it's dating or friendship or parents or teachers or otherwise, coaches, small group leaders. When there's conflict in a relationship, it poisons it. But our tendency is to hope it will dissolve. So I'm just going to sit this cup here and hope that alcohol will dissolve. Do you think it will dissolve? Do you think it will disappear? Let me tell you, I looked up on my phone, what happens if you drink rubbing alcohol? Okay, somebody said get a buzz. You'd be wrong, all right? You see, it's different than normal alcohol, way different. It's way more potent. Here's what it says. Drinking rubbing alcohol can cause alcohol poisoning. The symptoms of alcohol poisoning are vomiting, confusion, slow breathing, less than 8 breaths per minute, seizures, low body temperature, pale or bluish skin, and unconsciousness. All these symptoms will be present in the case of alcohol poisoning. In case of isopropyl ingestion, because of its strong effect on the central nervous system, a person may experience lethargy or ataxia and may go into a coma. And then it says, because it affects the GI tract, a person who drinks it will have stomach pain, cramps, and hemorrhagic gastritis. That basically means your whole stomach starts bleeding on itself. And then it adds this on the end, which I think is interesting. Someone who has ingested rubbing alcohol will also have a fruity smell to his or her breath. Mixed with vomit. And then it says it can be deadly if it isn't treated quickly enough. And this right here is 16 fluid ounces, and 8 ounces is lethal. So half of this bottle would kill you. But our natural response to conflict is just to avoid it and hope it will dissolve. And here's the thing. Doing that is the same thing as avoiding this and hoping this will dissolve and then drinking it. It's lethal to the friendship. Avoiding conflict is lethal to the relationship. And guess what? If I drank this and I got sick and or died, there would be consequences that would affect more than me. It would affect my children. It would affect my wife. It would affect you guys, your leaders, all my friends. There'd be a wave of impact. The same is true when we try to avoid conflict and hope it will dissolve in our friendships. There's a wave that goes out. Keisha's friends did not like me. My friends were frustrated with me. And that wave went out. And so here's the deal. I want to talk to you this morning about your friendships and your conflicts and ask you this. Do you typically try to watch them dissolve or do you know how to resolve them? All right? There's a dissolve versus resolve idea here we're talking about. Go ahead and put that up on the screen. The Bible tells us this. This is when we're going to get into the Word, because God cares about us. He cares about our relationships. He made us for friendships with each other. The Bible says we should make every effort to resolve our conflicts and relationships. Don't just sit back and let them dissolve. That means you have to work at it and do things to fix the conflict and the problems in your relationships. Here's three scriptures that show you this. Check this out. Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort, it's work, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You don't just sit back and let it dissolve, because that causes death and sickness and poison. You live at peace. You do everything you can as far as it depends on you. Matthew 5:9, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So you have a choice. To let conflict dissolve in your life, or to go after it and resolve it. You can be a peace faker, or you can be a peace maker. All right? A peace faker just says, all right, there's conflict there, but I'm going to avoid it and hope it dissolves. That's someone that drinks this. A peace maker is someone that takes this, they dump it out. Okay, I don't have another bucket up here. They dump it out, they rinse it, they put it in a dishwasher, and then they pour the clean water back in. That's the work that it takes with your relationships. You got to dump out all the problems on the table. You got to rinse it out. You got to start fresh. All right? Guys, every one of us is going to have conflict. Listen to this. Last week I told you about second grade. I was best friends with Travis Sousa and Wade Chamberlain. They made me fill up the water balloon. I got in trouble for acting like I was peeing with it. A couple weeks later, all right, I kind of lost some face with them. Travis Sousa, I'm not lying, literally held me up against a fence, and Wade Chambers punched me repeatedly in the stomach. And I wasn't friends with them anymore. They were done with me. In third grade, I became friends with a guy named Jason Houtman. We were best friends, went over to each other's house all the time. By the end of third grade, that relationship was done. Because there was conflict, we hoped it would dissolve, it didn't. Fourth grade, best friends with Sean Wells. Same thing happened. Fifth grade, Kyle McDonald. Same thing happened. Sixth grade, Ryan Sears. Same thing happened. All right? Keisha, 12th grade, same thing happened. I want you to think about your string of best friends. Some of you guys are lucky, or some of you guys know how to resolve conflict, and you've had the same best friend for a long time. But you may be best friends with someone now that you weren't best friends with a year ago because you had conflict and you tried to let it dissolve, and it poisoned your relationship. I had a long string of friends. And it's just now that I'm understanding that I need to be a peacemaker and not a peace faker, that I'm able to maintain the same relationships year after year. I want to give you the skills to do that. So I'm going to quickly equip you with seven skills. You're going to talk about these in your small group. As always, you can get on morewake.com. Can you do that, Ben? Can you click on morewake.com? I want to make sure you guys know this, because sometimes I just give a message where I just give you one big inspirational point and I try to let you run with it. Sometimes I try to give you stuff you can actually... No, pull up the browser. Sometimes I give you stuff you can actually kind of need to work through. Yeah, that's the emergency exit plan. Pull up the browser here. Close. Yeah, he's typing it. I want to show you our website, how to navigate it, and how you can kind of review what we talked about at Wake. Are we close? Did it crash? Not working. Okay. Can we get back to the show? All right. Anyways, you go to morewake.com. It's simple. You click curriculum, and it has discussion questions for every message that we do in here, and it has the audio from Wake. But if the discussion questions usually have these things that we talk about. So here are seven A words, all right, seven A's of pouring out, rinsing, and refilling friendships. All right, the first thing you have to do in any conflict is admit you're wrong, all right? You have to admit you're wrong. Not you are wrong, but you're wrong, the wrong that you have. Matthew 7:1-6 says this. Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log in your own eye? All right, it's like you go up to someone and you go, hey, you've got some sawdust in your eye, when really you've got a big piece of wood sticking out of your own eye. All right, that's how it is in conflict. You don't do that. How do you say to your brother, hey, let me take the speck out, but there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. Deal with your own stuff first. Take the log out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So let's just talk about me and Keisha right there. The speck in her eye was she was going way too fast in that relationship. She was getting way too heavy and way too deep. But I didn't lead her very well in communicating my expectations. So the log in my eye was, I led you on and I made you think that there was more there than there was. Because guess what I was doing? I was buying her teddy bears and roses, taking her on these awesome dates, because I was trying to figure all that stuff out. I made her think I was head over heels. That's the log in my eye. So the first thing I need to do is admit I was wrong. Hey, I was wrong. Let's skip to the second day. The second thing is this. Here you go. Keep going. Skip. Apologize. All right? So admit you're wrong. Keisha, guess what? I led you on. I'm sorry. All right? Everybody say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Ready, set, go. I was wrong. I'm sorry. All right? The third A is this. Ask for forgiveness. Keisha, I was wrong. I led you on, and I am sorry for doing that. I realize that I hurt you. Will you forgive me? All right? I was wrong. I'm sorry. And will you forgive me? Not easy to say. But if you don't say these words and take steps to resolve your relationships, they're going to end up poisoned because they never dissolve. Colossians 3:13 says this, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. The next thing you need to do is alter your behavior. Keisha, I was wrong. I led you on. I'm sorry for that. Will you forgive me? Going forward in our friendship or our relationship, if it continues in a different direction, I will not lead you on that way. I will change my behavior. All right? I'm going to alter my behavior. So this is the four things that you need to do. Skip ahead to the fifth. There's scripture that go with each one of these, but we're running out of time. Then, after you've admitted you're wrong, apologize for it, ask for forgiveness, said what you're going to change, then you can address their issue. Then I can come back to Keisha and go, guess what? I think you were taking it a little too seriously. I know I was leading you on, but also, this note is over the top. Read back out loud the things you wrote. You sound psycho. I probably wouldn't say it that way, but I would gently address her issue. Matthew 18:15, I want to show you this one. It says, if your brother sins against you, go, show him his fault. Just between the two of you, don't go blab about it to a bunch of other people. And if he listens, you've won him over. Six, accept their apology. If you tell them they did something wrong, they're probably going to apologize and say, man, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Accept it, all right? Listen to what Jesus says to Peter in Matthew 18. Peter says, hey, Lord, how often should I forgive somebody who sins against me when I have conflict? Seven times? Jesus said, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Basically means you just keep forgiving people. We should be forgiving people. And number seven, if it doesn't work, ask for help, all right? Go to a leader, go to a parent, go to someone you trust and say, hey, I tried to admit my wrong, apologize, ask for forgiveness, change my behavior, address their issue, accept their apology. It just didn't work. This conflict, we're trying to resolve it, but it's still there. Help us pour this out. Help us rinse this out. Help us refill this. Help us refill this. I'm not going to read that scripture from Matthew 18. So, to review, conflicts, they don't dissolve. They don't just go away. This is never going to go away. There's always going to be poison in here until I pour it out, rinse the cup, and refill it. Then it's a healthy relationship again. We all have conflict in our relationships. And I want you to know that God has given you direction to resolve them. If you don't, you're going to continually have poison and death in your life. Let me pray. Dear God, I pray that all of the students in this room, and I know that's a big prayer, but I pray that all of them would take some of this to heart and they would try to apply it in their friendships, in their relationships with their families. They would try to live at peace and be peacemakers, and they wouldn't try to fake their way through peace and let poison invade their lives. Remind them to be peacemakers. Remind them to resolve conflict. I thank you for giving us your word and tracks to run on. I pray that they would remember these things, they would look them up, they would study them, they would memorize them, they would live by them. In Jesus' name, amen. D-Town registration forms are out on the bar.